This is part B of the three Passovers. Now, I have other sermons that we've gone through with the Passover in Exodus 12, but what we need to do is see that two-day sequence, Passover on one night and the leaving on the next night. Now, the question is, when did Israel enter into covenant with God? See, God entered into covenant with Abraham in Genesis 15. But nowhere here in Exodus 12 do we find that this is a covenant sacrifice. This is a sacrifice given so that it will spare the firstborn, but also a sacrifice so that God can begin dealing with the people directly, because no one can come to God without a sacrifice. That's why we have the sacrifice of Christ today, through whom we go. That's why Jesus said, no one can come to the Father except through me, because it must be through his sacrifice, because there always has to be a sacrifice in approaching God. Now, the children of Israel left Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, came down to Mount Sinai, and God then laid out the basis of his covenant with them in Exodus 19. Exodus 19. Brought them there, and we know that the Ten Commandments were spoken on the 50th day, which then became the day of Pentecost, which we have other sermons covering. But what I want to do is cover something that is important that we need to realize and how God operates. God gives what you would say an overall agreement statement with the understanding that he's going to fill in the details later. So here, when they come to Mount Sinai, he's ready to make the covenant with them. So here is the covenant proposal. Now let's come to verse 3, Exodus 19. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shall you say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You've seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings. That means that he protected them, watched over them. That doesn't mean that he carried them on his back like eagle's wings. And the shadow of God's wings is his unseen protection. And brought you unto myself. Now here's the beginning of the covenant. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant. So now he's ready to enter into a covenant relationship with them, which requires a sacrifice, as we'll see a little later on. Then you shall be a peculiar people, or peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Now, this is an overall outline. Israel's purpose of the 12 tribes from that time even on down to this day was to bring the word of God to the nations of the world. The whole story of the sins of Israel is that instead of doing that, they wanted to become like the nations of the world and reject God. So, verse 7, Moses came and called for the elders of the people, laid before their faces all the words which the Lord commanded them. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord has spoken we will do. Now, it's kind of like this. Because a covenant is likened unto a marriage, and when the covenant was completed, God was the husband to Israel. So what we are seeing here with the overall outline is this, if we could liken it unto a proposal for marriage. the man comes to his sweetheart and says, "Will you marry me?" And she says, "But of course." "Do you know all the details at that point?" "No, you don't. They all come later, right?" "Yes." See? And to keep the surprises down, it is until death do you part. Because every marriage is going to have its ups and downs and its good and bad and difficulties involved, see? So, God gave the general proposal. Will you marry me? Will you do what I say? Because, you know, the wife is to obey the husband. So all the people said, "Yes, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, "Lo, I will come unto you in a thick cloud." Okay, now that you have agreed. This is the general thing that's going to happen. Now, I'm going to come down on Mount Sinai, and I'm going to start giving them the details. So then they were ready the third day. And here is the basis of the covenant that God gave to Israel. And, of course, the commandments, the Ten Commandments, are here. Now, just hold your place here in Exodus 12. And let's come back to Genesis 26 and verse 5, where we go there quite often to show and prove a point that is important. Because a lot of people say, "Well, there were no laws until the Ten Commandments were given by God when he gave them to Israel from Mount Sinai. There was no law before that." Well, if there's no law, there's no sin. Well, they're even wrong in that. Genesis 26, let's pick it up here in verse 3. He's talking to Isaac and reaffirming the covenant to Isaac after Abraham had died. So he says, "Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you, and unto you and your seed will I give all these countries, and I will perform the oath that I swore unto Abraham your father. And I will make your seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, also as the sands of the sea and other places. And I will give unto your seed," that is the physical progeny from Isaac, "all these countries, and in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." Now, these are the same ones that God is going to give Israel here in Exodus 20, 21, 22, 23. Very important. So, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, so all of his laws, his commandments, his statutes, and judgments are all binding. But you see, you go one step further. Obey my voice. That's the key. Regardless of what God says, we do. Okay? Now let's come back to Exodus 20, where he began giving the laws and commandments, which would become part of the covenant. And remember this, in every covenant, there are always laws and commandments and statutes and judgments. Always. Because you're not going to enter into a covenant with God, who is lawgiver, and expect to live a lawless life and do as you please. Never happened. You can never be in covenant with God. You'll be out of covenant. So, he gave them the Ten Commandments. And you know what happened? All the people saw the thundering and lightning and the noise and the wind, and they got afraid, and they said, "Oh, Moses, you speak to God, you tell us what God says, and we'll hear and obey." And so, after giving the Ten Commandments and telling him that, Moses told them, verse 20, Moses said to the people, "Fear not, for God has come to prove you, that his fear may be before you, or before your faces, that you sin not. The people stood far off. Moses drew near under the thick cloud where God was. And he went up to speak to God. So what did God do? You have to read the rest of Exodus 20, and then 21 and 22. These are statutes and judgments. Okay? 23, and in them you will find the Sabbath, the holy days, how to conduct your life, how you handle things concerning murder, concerning theft, and what you have is this. You have the Ten Commandments giving the outline of the laws, then you have the statutes and judgments which tells you how do you apply the law in certain instances. Now, let's come over here to Exodus 24, and this is after Pentecost that God entered into covenant with the children of Israel. And then after they entered into the covenant, then Moses went back up on the mountain again for another 40 days and 40 nights to get other instructions, especially on how to build the tabernacle. But here, chapter 24, and after that he had given those, and he said to Moses, now you have to have witnesses, don't you? So God wanted to make sure that it was not just Moses, and everybody had to believe only Moses. That's why at a wedding, what do you have? You have the bridesmaid, and you have the best man, and you have other people there to witness the marriage, and this becomes a legal thing because everyone has seen it. And he said to Moses, come up unto the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, who are the sons of Aaron, who were to be priests, and 70 of the elders of Israel, the leading ones from all the tribes, and worship you afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come near, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said, we will do. In a marriage ceremony, do you promise to love and obey? Yes. Do you promise to provide? Yes. Okay, so that's what they are doing. Now here's what happened, verse 4. Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half the blood and put it in basins, and half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant. Now, no oral tradition here. Written down. Took the book of the covenant and read it in the audience of the people. They wanted to make sure because it started out, well, God says you're going to be a kingdom of priests to bring my word to the whole world. Now then, how are you to conduct your life, and we'll enter into covenant on it? So he read all the words, everything that you have here, Exodus 21, 22, and 23. Wrote all the words and so forth. Now here's what happened. Read all the words, middle of verse 7, and they said, all that the Lord has said we will do and be obedient. Now this becomes a binding covenant here with these following actions. Verse 8. Because remember, no covenant is binding unless there are sacrifices. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you concerning all these words. So the Passover with Israel was not a covenant Passover. the covenant with Israel came after Pentecost. So this is about day 52 or 53, if we could put it that way. Nevertheless, they entered into covenant. Now notice what happened. After that was all done, the people said, yes, now you've got to have the witnesses go up and see the other half of it. Then went up Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in its clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God, that is, through the sea of glass, as it were, and did eat and drink. See, so you have a covenant meal. You have the covenant proposal. You have the words of the covenant. And you have the sacrifice of the covenant. And then you have a covenant meal. Did eat and drink. And the Lord said to Moses, come up to me in the mount and be there, and I will give you tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written that you may teach them. So he went up there and was there 40 days and 40 nights. So the first tables of stone were cut by God. The second tables of stone were cut by Moses. And then God wrote on them. So as one step removed whenever there's sin. So this is when the covenant with Israel took place. Now, this covenant was going to be in force until the new covenant, which was prophesied in several places. Let's come here to Jeremiah 31, and let's see the covenant here. You can see what happened with the covenant, how that they sinned against God. Jeremiah 31. And because they didn't keep the covenant, and because they didn't have the Spirit of God, and because God's plan was to actually come and die himself for the sins of the children of Israel and the people of the world, God was going to establish a new covenant, which would be on the Passover day. So we have the covenant given by God on the Passover day to Abraham and sealed when he passed through the paths of those animals and they were burned up. Then we have the covenant to Israel, which was not given on a Passover day. And now we come to the proposed new covenant. So here he gives an outline of it, just like he did in Exodus 19, when he gave an outline of his proposal to the children of Israel. In the same manner that God gave the outline of what he was going to do to the children of Israel, now he gives an outline of the new covenant without the details. But he gives some important things that are going to change the situation that was with the children of Israel. Now, verse 31. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. That also has a lot of historical background to it, which we can't go into. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which covenant they broke, although I was a husband unto them, says the Lord. And we covered that, the marriage proposal and everything. See, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write them in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, says the Lord, and I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sin no more. Now we find that the new covenant began exactly with that, because we had those from the children of Israel. Were they not all apostles from the children of Israel? Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Now, let's look at the new covenant where Jesus then introduces it when it becomes a reality. Now, let's come to the New Testament, and I'm going to follow along with some of these things in the harmony of the Gospels. Okay? Now, when it came time to institute the new covenant, the apostles did not have a clue that he was going to institute the new covenant. And this came after 3.5 years of teaching them, and they knew that everything was going to be different and new, but they didn't know how. And it couldn't be new and different until he established the covenant with them, the new covenant. So we find that this was done on the Passover day, and we're just going to review just a couple of scriptures here. Let's come to Matthew 26 and verse 17. And I might just mention that for the first day of the Feast of Unleavened, or the first day before the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is the Passover day, and very rarely do we have the first holy day follow the next day after Passover, but this year we do. And it presents a problem on how to count Pentecost, and you just received the booklet here recently on that. But the fact is that in the New Testament, the Passover day itself was called Matthew 26 and verse 17. Now, on the first of the unleavens, or the first day of the unleavens, meaning everything was unleavened on that day, which took place before the Passover occurred. Now, on the first of the unleavens, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, "Where do you desire that we prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city and to such a man, and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is near, I will keep the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So he did. Now let's see the events that took place when they got there. And I might mention that in the Harmony of the Gospels on page 258, we have the Genesis 15 covenant sacrifice and the death of Jesus paralleled side by side, so you can see the timing of it. Now let's see what took place here. Let's continue right on in Genesis 26. Now, this is after the foot washing. We won't get into foot washing because I'm going to give a sermon on the meaning of foot washing. Now, they did not know that this was going to occur. They came to eat the Passover, which was the one described in Exodus, the 12th chapter, the roasted lamb, the bitter herbs, and so forth. Now, he was going to do something different. And he was going to tell them about the new covenant. Now let's pick it up here in Matthew 26 and verse 26. "And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread." Now the bread of the Passover was unleavened bread, because that was the name of the day, and they were commanded to eat unleavened bread with it. And let's understand something. Most of the tricky arguments that come from people concerning questions in the Bible come because they don't understand the Bible, and also come because there is many times people not understanding, and they're confused. And the reason that they are confused is because there is also someone who is the author of confusion, and that's not God. That's Satan the devil. "As they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said to them, take, eat, this is my body. Now we'll see a little later on where, when we come to some of these again, where he said that is being broken for you. Now let's look at Luke 22. No, let's come to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Paul writes of this, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is being broken for you. This do in the remembrance of me.'" Now, I'm sure they didn't understand that. But nevertheless, they did, because he was making the covenant with them. Now then, there has to be shed blood to seal the covenant. And that blood is going to be the blood of Jesus Christ. So rather than the actual blood of Christ and the actual body of Christ, the bread became the symbol of his body, sinless, broken, and the wine became the blood of the new covenant. So here's where he instituted what he prophesied back there in Jeremiah 31. Now let's come back to Matthew 26, beginning in verse 27. Matthew 26 and verse 27. "And he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'All of you drink of it, for this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the remission of sins.'" Now, the blood of the covenant, they understood. They didn't understand how it was going to be his blood yet, because they didn't know that he was going to be crucified. And they couldn't understand it until after he was resurrected from the dead and explained it to them. Blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the remission of sins. Then he said that he's not going to drink of it at all until he drinks it anew with them in the kingdom of God. So there's yet going to be another covenant. Isn't there? Yes. That will be the marriage covenant after we're resurrected. Okay? So the wine became symbolic of his blood. Now then, when we take the Passover, and just like, let me just mention this. In Exodus 12, it was said that only those who were circumcised could partake of the Passover. Well, today, under the new covenant, the circumcision is of the heart, and that takes place with baptism for the beginning of the changing of your nature. So only those who are baptized should partake of the Passover. Then, after the foot washing, which comes first, then the eating of the unleavened bread, and the meaning of that explained during the Passover service. And by the way, this year we're sending out a CD that has the entire Passover service on it. Then we have the words of the covenant. And we have an exact parallel, though different timing, in how God gave the covenant to Israel and then filled in the details after they said yes. Well, likewise, after the apostles partook of the first new covenant Passover, then afterward, chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17 of the book of John contained the words of the new covenant. And this new covenant, then, is establishing something different between God and those that he calls. Now, instead of coming to a temple with a physical altar, now you come to God the Father in heaven above, and the spiritual altar and the sacrifice is Jesus Christ. And when you go through, and I suggest that you read all the way through John 14, 15, 16, and 17, you will find every aspect of what we will be experiencing in our relationship, number one, with God, and number two, the difficulties that we will have in the world. All of it all combined, so that we have, as it were, when we enter into the covenant and the details are given to us, we understand what is expected of us. And so, the Passover day is the covenant day for the new covenant. The Passover day with Abraham was the covenant that God gave to Abraham in Genesis 15. That's why it's mentioned there in Galatians 3 and 4 that we're Abraham's children and heirs according to the promise, see. So in both cases, we have the covenant, we have the instruction, we have the pledge, we have the sacrifice, we have the Word of God. And so that gives an overview of the Passover that was planned before the foundation of the world. This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442.